Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Have you ever stopped to think about the incredibly complex highway system running inside every single one of your cells? I mean, specifically, how vital fats and cholesterol lipids get transported around. These aren't just for energy storage, you know? They're the actual building blocks for all our cell membranes. Absolutely essential, and maybe nowhere more critical than in the brain. Think about it, the brain. How do neurons, those vital signaling cells, get the specific lipids they need, especially from their support cells, the astrocytes? It's not just a simple delivery. It's this really precise, regulated transfer. It's fundamental for brain health. Now, we know a key player here is polypropotein E, APOE. You could sort of picture it as the cell's dedicated delivery truck for lipids. But here's the puzzle, the real mystery. We kind of understand how these APOE packages get picked up at the cell surface, brought inside. But what happens next? Once they're inside the cell, how do those lipids actually get unloaded into the right compartments, ready to be used in this like major missing piece? So today we're doing a deep dive into some fascinating new research that seems to finally shed light on this crucial step. It uncovers a whole new mechanism and it has some pretty surprising implications for cell health, especially brain health. And here's where it gets really interesting. And this might just open up new ways to think about major diseases.
Yeah, and today we're highlighting some really groundbreaking work. It's from a collaborative team, researchers from the University of Zurich in Switzerland and the University of Applied Sciences Upper Austria in Linz. Their work has really pushed forward our understanding of how these crucial lipids get moved around inside cells. They've pinpointed a protein that was, well, basically unknown in this role before, essential.
Okay, right. Let's unpack this then. Before we jump into their specific discovery, maybe give us a clear picture of APOE itself. What is this protein exactly, and why is it so important for lipid transport, particularly in the brain?
Sure. So APOE is this really versatile protein, a real workhorse, actually. Its main job is transporting hydrophobic lipids, you know, things like cholesterol, phospholipids throughout the body. And while you find it pretty much everywhere, its role in the brain is uniquely critical. It's the main apolipoprotein there. It basically shuttles lipids back and forth between astrocytes, the support cells, and the neurons, the signaling cells. And this constant exchange, it's absolutely vital for healthy brain function. Think building connections, repairs.
Right. And I think many listeners might recognize the name APOE because, well, it's often linked to a pretty significant health challenge, isn't it?
Precisely. Yeah, you're right. There are three common versions or isoforms: APOE2, APOE3, and APOE4. And as you said, APOE4 is probably the most well-known because it's a major genetic risk factor for late-onset Alzheimer's disease. So despite APOE being so critical and having this strong disease link, the exact steps inside the cell, like what happens after the cell takes up these APOE lipid packages, that's been largely a black box. We knew they got in, but how they efficiently unloaded their cargo inside, that was a mystery.
Okay, so that's where these Tweety homologs or TTYHs enter the story. That's a name you don't forget. What were these proteins originally thought to do, and why did the researchers even suspect they might be involved in lipid transport instead of their previously assumed job?
Yeah, Tweety homologs, TTYHs. They're a family of membrane proteins found in eukaryotes, so in our cells too. And initially, they were actually classified incorrectly, it turns out, as neon channels. People thought they helped ions move across membranes, but then more recent structural studies started showing something different, a really distinct feature, this wide sort of hydrophobic groove or cavity. It extends from the membrane surface inward. And this unique structure led some people to hypothesize, well, maybe these TTYHs are actually involved in lipid transfer, perhaps between the membrane and soluble carriers like APOE. But, and this is key, there was no direct proof, no specific interaction partners identified for this role. Until now, that is, this study really provided that missing link.
Right. This research sounds like a fantastic example of using lots of different advanced techniques together, like scientific detective work. So how did the team first find this interaction between TTYH2, one specific Tweety, and APOE? What was the initial hint?
Well, the first breakthrough came from a pretty smart approach to find out what TTYH2 actually binds to directly. They used something called synthetic nanobodies, tiny, very specific antibody fragments for what are called pull-down experiments. Mm. It's kind of like fishing, actually. They use these nanobodies as bait to hook onto TTYH2 in human cells, and then they pulled out TTYH2 along with anything physically stuck to it. Then they used mass spectrometry, a technique that identifies molecules by weighing them. essentially to see what proteins came along for the ride. And bingo, APOE showed up as one of the most abundant proteins they pulled down with TTYH2. That was a huge indicator, strongly suggesting they interact. The first real aha moment.
Okay, finding they interact in a lab setup is one thing, but proving they actually meet up inside a cell in the right location to do something meaningful, that's the next step, right? How did they confirm that?
Absolutely, that's critical. So to check their location inside the cell, they used a couple of powerful methods. First, subcellular fractionation. This basically involves carefully breaking cells apart and separating the different internal compartments based on density. Think of it like sorting the cell's internal rooms. And they found that TTYH2 and APOE consistently ended up in the same fractions, specifically fractions containing endosomes.
Endosomes. Those are like the cell's internal sorting stations.
Exactly. Where incoming stuff gets processed and sent to the right place. Then they used confocal fluorescence microscopy for the visual proof. They tagged APOE and TTYH2 with different fluorescent colors. And they could literally see them lighting up together, overlapping in distinct spots inside the cells. They also showed these spots overlapped with another protein called RAB9, which is known to be in late endosomes. So it confirmed they were meeting in the right place right after APOE gets taken into the cell. Crucial evidence.
Mm-hmm. And then came the really detailed picture, the structural insights. They knew who was interacting and where, but how do they physically connect? How do they manage to see that at the atomic level?
Right, that's where cryo-electron microscopy, cryo-EM, really shone. It's an amazing technique that lets you see molecular structures in incredible detail. So they looked at TTYH2 bound to APOE. They did this with APOE, both on its own delipidated, meaning without lipids, and also as part of a whole lipoprotein particle carrying its lipid cargo. And the cryo-EM structures were fascinating. They showed that APOE doesn't just randomly bump into TTYH2, it binds to a very specific spot, an epitope, on a part of TTYH2 that sticks out into the endosome. And here's the critical part. The way it binds positions the lipids carried by APOE right next to that hydrophobic cavity, that sort of tunnel, inside TTYH2. So this cavity basically acts as a gateway. It seems to allow the lipids to slide or diffuse directly from APOE into the endosomal membrane. They even saw in a high-resolution structure of TTYH2 alone what looked like a continuous lipid belt inside this cavity. It visually suggests how lipids can move smoothly from APOE through TTYH2 into the membrane, like seeing the molecular handoff mechanism.
Wow, okay. So they have the who, the where, and the how it looks structurally. But the killer question is always, does TTYH2 actually speed up the lipid transfer? Is it actively helping or just passively holding APOE?
Exactly, the functional test. Does it actually do the job? To test this, they set up these really clever in vitro lipid transfer assays, basically recreating the process in a controlled lab setting. Now, APOE particles can be a bit sticky and bind non-specifically to membranes, which can mess up the results, so they had to carefully optimize the experiment. They used artificial membrane bubbles called liposomes designed to reduce this background stickiness. Then they used lipids tagged with fluorescent markers, little glowing tags. They could then watch in real time how quickly these tagged lipids move from the APOE particles over to the liposomes that contain TTYH2.
And they needed to measure the actual kinetics too, right? The speed and strength of the TTYH2 APOE binding itself.
Yes, and for that they used something even more precise, single molecule force spectroscopy, or SMFS. This is pretty amazing stuff. It lets you measure the tiny force needed to pull apart just one TTYH2 molecule from one APOE molecule.
Yeah.
By doing this thousands of times, they could get really accurate measurements of how quickly they bind and unbind the kinetic constants. And this confirmed the interaction was strong enough, but also dynamic enough to allow for rapid lipid transfer.
Okay, so after all that incredibly detailed work, from pull-downs to microscopy, cryo-EM, these functional assays, what were the biggest takeaways, the most impactful findings for us?
Well, number one, they definitively showed TTYH2 is a real bona fide interaction partner of APOE. That's established. And critically, they showed they meet up consistently in endosomal compartments inside the cell. That puts them in exactly the right place at the right time to handle lipid unloading after endocytosis.
And the structural stuff from cryo-EM, what was the key message there about how they actually work together?
The cryo-EM results were, yeah, incredibly revealing. They showed APOE docks onto a specific site on TTYH2 facing the inside of the endosome. But the really crucial insight was how this docking positions the lipids. It lines them up perfectly with that hydrophobic cavity in TTYH2. Essentially, it creates a direct path, a gateway, for lipids to move from the APOE particle into the membrane. Facilitated diffusion, basically. They also pinned down the C-terminal part of APOE as being key for this interaction. So it's a specific structured handoff, not just random bumping.
Right, so the players, the location, the mechanism. But did TTYH2 actually make a difference to the speed? Did it accelerate things?
Yes, dramatically.
Yeah.
Those in vitro assays we talked about, they showed a 14-fold acceleration in lipid transfer when TTYH2 was present.
14-fold, wow.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. Not just a small nudge, but a really substantial boost. This was clear, direct proof that TTYH2 acts as a catalyst, actively facilitating the lipid exchange. It makes the whole unloading process much, much more efficient.
Was this specific just to TTYH2? Or could its relatives, the other Tweety proteins, do the same thing?
Highly specific, it seems. They tested TTYH3, which is closely related, and it was much, much slower at transferring lipids.
Mm-hmm.
So this really points to TTYH2 having a specialized role here. They also double-checked it wasn't acting as a lipid scramblase, which is a different thing, just mixing lipids between membrane layers. TTYH2 facilitates directional transfer from APOE to the membrane. And finally, their cell-based experiments backed it all up. When they fed cells fluorescent lipids carried by APOE, they saw those lipids accumulating right where TTYH2 was located in the cell. It happens in living systems.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit then. Taking all this complex molecular detail, what does it fundamentally change about how we understand cell biology? And why should our listeners care, especially regarding health?
Well, I think the big picture is that this study really defines a new class of proteins, these Tweety homologs, specifically TTYH2, as facilitators of lipid transfer, connecting soluble carriers like APOE to membranes. It basically uncovers a whole step in how cells handle lipoproteins internally that we didn't really understand before. It explains how cells efficiently get the lipids out of those APOE packages once they're inside. That unloading step was a gap in our knowledge.
And thinking specifically about the brain, where APOE is so dominant, what are the implications there, especially with that Alzheimer's link?
Right. While this TTYH2 mechanism is likely widespread, it's probably particularly vital in the brain. Like we said, APOE is the main lipid transporter between astrocytes and neurons. So this work explains that crucial unloading step that has to happen after the APOE particles bind to receptors and get pulled inside brain cells. It allows for that lipid exchange within the endosome. This adds a really important piece to the puzzle of brain lipid metabolism. And given the APOE4 link to Alzheimer's, understanding these molecular details, well, it could genuinely open doors for new therapeutic ideas. Maybe targeting TTYH2 could help modulate lipid delivery in the brain. It's early days, but possible.
It definitely sounds like it opens up a lot of new questions. Did the authors mention any limitations? And what are the obvious next steps for researchers wanting to build on this?
Yeah, they did acknowledge some technical challenges. APOE itself can be tricky to work with. It changes shape. It likes to stick to things. That makes experiments harder. Looking forward, a really crucial question is, does TTYH2 interact differently with the different APOE isoforms, APOE2, E3, E4? If, say, it doesn't work as well with APOE4, that could be a direct link to the disease mechanism that needs investigating urgently. Also, what about the other Tweety proteins, TTYH1 and TTYH3? What do they bind to? Do they have similar roles or different ones? And there's still more to learn about TTYH2 itself, like the part of the protein that phases the cell's cytoplasm, its C-terminal domain, what's its role. It's also just fascinating, as the authors note, how this mechanism seems to echo other lipid transport systems in the cell, like ones involved in cholesterol transport or autophagy. It hints at maybe a common conserved strategy cells use to manage lipids.
So if someone listening takes away just one key message from this deep dive, what should that be?
I'd say the core message is that this research identifies TTYH2 as a vital, previously unknown catalyst. It efficiently unloads essential lipids from APOE inside our cells, specifically within endosomes. It's a fundamental biological process, super important for keeping lipid balance, especially in the brain, and it gives us a new molecular player to consider in neurological health and disease.
So what does this mean for Firth size? Maybe the design of future therapies for neurodegenerative diseases, where getting lipid metabolism right in the brain is looking increasingly critical. Definitely something to ponder. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, Base by Base.